Thank you for tuning in to TKD Glory Radio and Broadcast. You know who it is. It's the Kingdom Big Sis, Prophet Asandra Coleman, TKD. Glory to God. I am so excited, hallelujah, to be broadcasting again. I'm telling you guys, I feel it all down in my pinky toe. Glory to God. We have a great show for you tonight. Glory to God. People are logging in. The chat room is open. Amen, amen. And we're going to be discussing church hurt on tonight. Glory to God. So I want you to do me a favor. I want you to call a friend. Tell everyone to tune in. We're going to open the lines a little later so you guys can come in. Hallelujah. If you didn't know, I need you to call, text, tweet, and update your status and ask somebody and let them know that TKD Glory Radio, we are live. And it's going out about 20 seconds. Hold on to your seat because we're going to heal Tamar tonight. The church hurt on TKD Global Radio Broadcast. Thank you, Father. Somebody ought to praise God right now, right there in your living room, right there in your bedroom. If you're in your car on the phone, go ahead and pull over for a second because you don't want no accidents. Go ahead and give God some praise. Amen. Because he thought you was to die for. He thought you was worth saving. Glory to God. And nobody loved us like God. God, we thank you for what you're about to do, God, on these airwaves. God, thank you for everybody that's logged in, that tuned in already, oh, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the anointed special guest speakers, God, that, Lord, heard the heart of the people, oh, Father God, and answer on this call, oh, God. And, Lord, we are looking for a resolution tonight, Father God, not to bash anyone, oh, God. Lord, we know that your children need to be healed from church hurt, oh, Father God. So, Holy Spirit, even have your way right to move how you want to move. Do what you want to do, God. This show may not be for everyone, but God, if they're hurting, oh, Father God, allow them to see the fire, call in, hear from somebody, oh, Father, that their soul can be restored and healed, Father, that virtue enter even back into them in this hour. So, God, we already in advance give you the praise. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory that's due your name. Because, God, you love us like no one else, Father God. And it is not in your will for us to walk around broken, God. But our portion is to walk in health, God. Our portion is to walk in strength, oh, Father God. Our portion is to walk in total healing, O God. So we thank you, God, and we believe in you on tonight for total healing for your sons and your daughters around the globe. Everything that's tuned in, Father God, right now, and may listen to this in the archive at another time. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you are omniscient, God. You are omnipresent, God. You see and you know all. You know our hearts. You know our intent, oh Father. So we thank you on tonight, oh Lord, because we're already in expectation for you to do something great in Jesus' name. You make it. See me, but I need everything on this line and say amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we're going to jump right into this. Glory to God. And we want to make sure that we utilize the time that we've been given, because I got two anointed powerhouse special guests online, amen, and you're going to hear from them in just a moment. But I just want to tell you guys how this particular broadcast came about. On Monday of this week, if you guys go on my Twitter, my Instagram, and my Facebook, I am trying to get a whole lot of social stuff, y'all, so bear with a sister, you know. I really try to do this Periscope and all that things, too, because I'm grateful for you guys. Amen. I'm grateful for you guys. So I try to stay updated on those kind of things. But every day, if the Lord leads me, I put something on there, prophetically, whatever it is. I as a prophet, you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose. You just do what God says, do nothing more and nothing less. And so Monday I put it on there on Facebook. It was something like prophetic word concerning church hurt and meaning of a real covenant. And when I post that thing and went about my day, and every now and then I'll check back and I'm like, okay, I got a message from a young lady, and then I got another one, and then I got another one. And by lunchtime I had 10, and I'm like, all right, something. Oh, okay, Father, what are you saying? Then by 5 o'clock I had almost 30 either inboxes or emails of people who's trying to explain to me why they don't go to church. And the common denominator throughout all the emails was this one word. I just experienced church hurt. And so some of them, not all of them, you know, I have a family and kids, a husband, and two dogs, so I couldn't answer all of them. But most of them, I was like, you know, what do you mean you experienced church hurt and things of this? Now, some, and now, people, we're going to be honest tonight, because, some of you, I love you, but you know you hard-head. You know you hard-head. But now some of it, because I was a hard-head too, okay? But some of it was just very open and stuff, people just being open about things they experienced inside the church. And I said, Father, wait a minute, because, you know, the house of worship is the hospital. Because the reality is we are the church. And so later on that night, I checked in the emails and things of that nature and all the messages. And, I could not sleep. And, honey, I like sleeping. The only thing get me up is the Holy Spirit or my husband wants something. Other than that, this was going to light me up in the middle of the night. And so, you know, I got up and I prayed. And saints, I couldn't let that thing go. Like, I really couldn't let that thing go at all. And that's when the Lord woke me up, and I went in my prayer room for a while, the Holy Spirit took me to 2 Samuel 13, and I hope you guys had a chance to see that, because I've been talking about this all week. But it talks about Tamar, David's son, one of his sons, Amnon, A-M-O-N, lusted after his sister. They had different mothers, and he wanted her so bad, and King David was the king, and both his sons, his sons was also in leadership. What they call leadership in that time of era. And so Tamar just serving and doing what she was supposed to do. She was doing things she was asked to do. But the Bible said that he got sick for her. You know, meaning in another translation, he just became very lustful, I guess, watching her do her day-to-day work and things of that nature. Now, that's another program. You know, because she was supposed to be his sister. Anyway, he came up with he had his boy come up with a scheme, and he said, you know, when your father come and see you, tell your father that you're sick, and tell him to send Tamar to you and things of that nature to see about you and cook food and all that. And so he did follow through with the evil plan. And so as I'm reading this in a prayer room, part of me is just sinking in, because I'm seeing this spiritually, you know, as the Holy Spirit is showing me this when it comes to people being hurt by people we trust in the church, you know, and things of that nature. And the Bible goes on to say, you know, in one part, I didn't put in the video I made on Tuesday, she said, if you want me, just ask my father, and he will give you to me, but don't do this wicked thing. But because Amnon was burning with a lustful desire and just want instant gratification and being selfish and not considering what was about to happen and how this was going to change her outlook on leadership and how this was going to change her life, he went forth and he raped her. He just took it. The Bible said he forced her and he raped her. We're not going to sugarcoat it. He took it. And so think about it in leadership and things of that nature, how, you know, somebody that anoints you with some oil, somebody that pour, you know, bless you and put you in a position, things of that nature. How many out there have abused a position, have abused a sheep, may have hurt them, and then we just left them out there? Whoo, Shonda. I mean, all jokes aside, that thing grabbed my heart, and I began to pray, and I began to fast. And I said, Dad, you know, what you want me to do? And you know, he said, pray. And I'm like, okay, now what else you want me to do? You know? And then two special people came upon my heart. They immediately came upon my heart. And I reached out to them immediately, and I thank God, because they both said, you know, hey, let's do this. And so before I keep going into this, so you guys know how this was birthed. And let me just tell you this. We're going to do this today. And however long God wants to do this, I'm all in. Because this wasn't my plan per se. But, you know, I've learned that my plan is a joke when God wants to do something. And we need to handle this because over 50 people don't email and inbox you if something really is not going on. And because I began to Google and send things, I'm like, oh, this is what we don't want to talk about in the church. But yet we got all these people who don't want to have nothing to do with us. Okay, God, we have got to handle this. So that's how this broadcast on tonight came about. So I have two special guests I want to introduce to you. I have Chief Apostle Ken Moses all the way from Brooklyn, New York. And then I have the beautiful Apostle Linda Harvey all the way from Baltimore, Maryland. Glory to God. So you guys, go ahead and put your hands together. Give God some glory for their lives. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to hush because I want them to tell you about their awesomeness and who they are. Apostle Linda?
Yes?
Bless you, woman of God. How are you today?
I am doing just well, and thank God for being on the line with everyone on tonight.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, before we get started, I just want you to go first and just tell the people what you want them to know about you and let them know where your ministry is.
Amen, amen. Well, again, I'm Apostle Linda M.J. Harvey, and I am the pastor, senior pastor of Fragrance of Faith Ministry, located in beautiful Pikesville, Maryland. Been in ministry over 25 years, and our ministry is blessed to have four active programs, which are very connected with our families in East Baltimore, doing a lot of things with our teen moms, and this is such a subject that's very sensitive to my heart because some of the people who we consider disenfranchised are the very ones that my ministry and programs service every month. People who feel ostracized, people who feel rejected, people who feel abandoned. And because our motto for our ministry is serving the community with the love of Christ. And I'm so excited, Prophet Coleman. That is just what we do. And we have the manifestation of miracles that follow our work, signs, wonders, and miracles. The word says will follow. And we also have individuals whose lives are being recalibrated and being refreshed because of the type of service that we do. So I'm indeed excited to be on the line. And this, again, this subject is very near and dear to my heart. I've been doing a lot of outreach over the last 30, 35 years and have received a lot of accolades from the mayor's office, Baltimore City Police, and different awards and all for the kind of service that we do. And we serve people no one else wants to serve. And it is our pleasure to do it, and we just thank God for the opportunity. So I'm glad to be on here on tonight. And this, again, this is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. And we're going to get back to that, too, why it's near and dear to your heart, because I knew of you a while back. I just never met you face-to-face, and then I met you on Facebook, and I said, this woman just has a beautiful spirit. And then I got an opportunity to come in fellowship with you not too long ago, and just the love you have for people and their respond towards you, I said, God, this woman has a beautiful heart. And so we're definitely going to get back to that. And the other man of God I have on the line, I love this man of God, but not just him. I love his wife, too, Apostle Alicia Moses, and we have on the line Chief Apostle Ken Moses. He goes after the church. This apostle, wherever you are, his word will find you. It's truly like a double-edged sword, but he do it with love, and there is no sugar on it. Amen. You either get delivered or you do not. Glory to God. Chief Apostle Ken Moses, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. I'm just grateful that the Lord has touched your heart to allow me to even serve on this capacity on tonight, and I'm just overwhelmed by the opportunity. And my name is Apostle Ken Moses, out of Brooklyn, New York, and I am the senior pastor of Groundwork Ministries International, and also the prelate of Rehoboth Fellowship Covenant of Churches and Ministries, and we're located in various parts of the United States, specifically in the East Coast region, in New York, Virginia, Maryland, we're down in Georgia, and outside of the states, we're in Pakistan, Jamaica, and Japan. And one of our goals, and one of the things, two specific areas that the Lord has blessed us to really deal with. One is leadership, the restoration of leaders, as well as dealing with fallen leaders and leaders that are in error as well, which is a very touchy subject. And
we
thank God that this vision that our covenant sister, Prophetess Lasandra Coleman, has been touched to even deal with, because this is an area where the church is very confused on. And the other area that we're strong in, and that is in marital ministry. My wife and I, we're a team.
Yes.
We're consecrated for each other, and we thank God that the ratio, the restoration of marriages, is higher than the norm that has occurred. And we gear towards various areas in marital ministry, such as blended families, which is not touched in the church. We deal with areas of child support, which is biblical but is not dealt with in the church. Again, we deal with remarriage, which also gives there's biblical lines, which is not dealt with, once again, in the church. So we like to deal with and specifically enlighten and encourage and educate the people of God on the various areas that you don't have enough time to deal with over the pulpit. So we set up platforms and forums for things as such, because it doesn't make sense to have two leaders in the church that's running the church and at odds with each other at home. And so it cheapens the ministry that God has given us as leaders to even dare to try to counsel anybody else. So it gives Jesus a very bad rap, if you would.
Yeah.
And so those are the two strong areas. I'm a family man. I love my wife and children, love family time. That's my therapy, if you would. And so and I don't consider myself above or whatever you may want to call it, but I just like to be just considered as a servant leader. Not too many of those, but just like to help serve not just the word of the Lord, but just serve the people of God in the various areas that they may need. Some may need clothing, some may need shelter, some may need some encouragement, some may need some lifting up. Some just may need some rebuke, whatever.
Amen.
And however, the Lord
sir.
Guides in whatever capacity, that's what we do. But we do it all in love. We do it all with simplicity.
Amen.
We do it all with the leading of the Holy Ghost. If the Lord didn't say it, we don't say it.
Amen.
And that's where, that's where we're at. And I just thank God for having the likes of Prophetess Lasandra Coleman and her husband, King Dante Coleman, in our lives as covenant brother and sister. And we
Amen.
Just thank
Here
God for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I thank you both. I just want to thank you both again for, you know, joining me on this and listen to all the things that you do. God is so strategic, because, you know, you both are already helping the church as well as the community with this, with these kind of issues that we're going to have to deal with it in the church. And you both are already doing that, you know, and you know, that's unfortunate in some places. So let's jump right into this. Later on, we'll probably take a 10-minute break in about 45 minutes and come back and do the other part of the show. That's probably only like 15 minutes, and we'll take calls. But right now, we're gonna jump into the meat of the show. Callers, because I know you're on the line, and we are going to take some calls. Amen. You're going to be able to ask the apostles and myself questions and things of that nature. Just remember what I said on all the videos I made. This is not a bashing session. So if you want to mention your name, if you don't, that's fine. If you want to, when you ask your question, let's stay away from ministries' names, and let's stay away from leaders' names. Okay, we're looking for resolution. We're not trying to discredit any person. Glory to God. I mean, but no one can tell your testimony and your hurt but you. So we don't want to rob you of that, though. That's the reason for the show. One thing that I do want to start with, apostles, and I would like for you both to speak on this, because one of the young ladies, I actually kept some of the emails, and I got their permission to share it on the air. One is close to us, Apostle Linda. She's actually in Baltimore. She's in Miami. Mm-hmm. She don't know either one of you. She's probably on the line tonight. But she said, please share mine if you can share anything on the air. Her experience, instead of reading the whole email all over to you guys, her experience was she was in the ministry and had been serving there for 15 years, had been serving 15 years faithfully and things of that nature. And she had started fellowshipping, I assume, with another ministry, another state, and things like that. Well, according to her email, that didn't go over well with her pastor. And when she was going back and forth, not to join another church, she made it clear she was just, I think it was her mother church, and they were doing something, and the people wanted her to speak and things like that. She made it very clear, you know, when she came back from that, and, you know, she was intentionally demoted. And so I'm reading the email. I'm like, you were intentionally demoted. Her service was no longer needed to serve there. But if she wanted to be a part of another auxiliary in the church, which was, I think, the children ministry, which she didn't mind, was fine, but she could no longer be the armor bearer. I think she was over the helps ministry and something else. And because fellowshipping with another ministry, that happened to her, and she felt, you know, some of the next 6 months that she did stay there, you know, the people were kind of, she had known for years, had started treating her different. And the assistant pastor told her this, and she put in quote, "No one's treating you different. That's all in your head." But they didn't invite her to none of the events after that and things of that nature. Please help me with that, because to me, if that's accurate, if that really happened in her life, or anyone who's on this line, that's hurtful. So let's start with you, Chief Apostle. How do we help? Because now she's not going to anybody's church. She's at home. She says she watched T.D. Jakes every morning and just sent a seed there, because she says she just completely just not only hurt but kind of lost.
Well, let's start here. There's two major things that I can pretty much pull right out of this incident or of the situation. One of which, some of us as leaders in the church, okay, tend to forget that there is a criteria on our lives that the Bible makes clear for us, how our responsibility to those that we're serving. If we were to pull it out, we could look at Colossians, you know, the fourth chapter, you know, first verse, that makes it quite clear how masters are supposed to be fair to those that they're overseeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the problem comes in that when you get some leaders that feel that they have a little bit of weight after X amount of years, because myself, I've been in ministry actively for 40 years. So I've seen pretty much a lot, been through, you know, pretty much. But one thing that I've noticed is that it seems like the leaders during the course of the decades embellish more upon what it's the sheep's responsibility is to them than what the leader's responsibility is to the sheep. And so that piece right there is gets missed constantly. You know, of course, we want to be respectful to each one that we may come in contact with as a leader. However, some, when they don't hear, when they hear something very unpopular that is going to ruffle their feathers a little for a minute, some leaders lack the professional skill set, and I have to say it like that,
gotcha.
Because they're very unlearned and untrained to know how to deal with arrogancy or how to really discern, you know, hurt. Some leaders may discern hurt as if, oh, you're trying to tell me what to do. I'm the leader. You know, they think that they got the 12 or the 7 I am's of Christ on their life. Not so.
Amen.
And this is where you must have the heart of God as a leader to know how to steer that type of person, because every individual that comes into the house of God is a characteristic, and each one carries a different attitude. And
yeah,
everybody should not be treated as robots, if you would. And so I believe that that element of a leader cannot be afraid to share with the sheep as far as what their responsibility is, because it takes more than just prayer.
Amen.
It takes some education for that leader to know how to deal with human behavioral science, period. And I believe that where a lot of hurt comes in with the sheep from the shepherd, quote unquote, is their lack of wanting to educate themselves and how they may better serve those that they're supposed to either cover, serve, or undergird, whatever adjective that you want to put on it, if you would. And so, yes, me, I believe that element is missing. And the very thing that's going to help curtail and put a stop to having so many people in the church hurt is that leader has to have enough sense to go educate themselves on how do I deal with this person as opposed to this one, because everybody's not the same. Some people are soft-spoken. Some people are just, just harsh in their speech. But the one thing that the Lord has blessed me with education as well as just by human care, period, is learn how to listen to that person's heart and not exactly what they're saying.
Amen.
I hope that helps.
Amen. That's good. I like that. I like the apostle. Listen to their heart and not what they're saying. And then we also have to add in, honestly, and then hopefully that leader cares enough to even listen to the heart. You know, because, to even listen to the heart of the person. Apostle Linda, I want to know what you, I want to hear from you on that too, because I just want to say this, because some people, and I've seen this, people go to their leaders, and this could be hurtful as well, and they ask their leader a question, and you just said something, I wrote it down, because you're right with the arrogancy. People may not go to church all the time, and they join your ministry, and when you kind of want to, what I call, carry them or handle them, in a way, people use, I've seen leaders use the Bible against people. And I'm like, why won't you do that? Why won't you hurt them like that? You know that they don't know everything like you do in the Word of God. And so I've seen people do that, and the person leaving their office feeling insecure and broken and hurt and confused because the leader just used the Bible against the person. Now they're afraid, thinking, I better not even think for myself.
Right.
I mean, not going against me, but I mean, I'm not thinking for myself because they get into this fear, I tell people, like, sir, but read the word and study the word. That is your responsibility to know that. But then, you know, as leaders, we can't use the word against the people because, like you said earlier, because we want them to act like robots.
Amen.
Wow. That was powerful. Apostle Linda, go ahead.
Well, Chief Apostle Morris really has opened up a conversation here. And I can say a couple of things, and I'm going to come in my own style and with my
Amen.
Own terminology and my own
Amen.
Terminology
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I know what church hurt feels like. I have experienced it, and it takes your breath away. It really does. So the young lady with the email, the information that she had sent you, Prophetess, I've heard that before. I have a couple of my mentees who are no longer in church right now because one of them went to visit another church, and she was gone for a couple of weeks. And when she came back, she got the cold shoulder. The membership, as well as the pastor and leaders, felt that she had abandoned them and so that she was no longer on their side when we're all supposed to be on the side of Christ. So she was little by little alienated and pretty much pushed out of the membership. I also know of a couple of individuals who had positions within their local house, and because they went and they performed, whether they're gospel artists or musicians, they performed, helped other people by way of sharing their gifts. Not taking the honorarium, just being a servant of the Lord, helping one of their brothers and sisters who were performing here in Maryland, and they were fired from their particular position within their local church. And they, from there, again, the cold shoulder, you went against the church, you went against the pastor, you know, where's your sense of allegiance to our church? And Christ is not mentioned, God is not mentioned, nor the Holy Spirit is mentioned in any of the conversations. And so people are being hurt to a place of now feeling victimized. And when you are hurt by your pastor, that is a hurt far beyond what you can any verbiage that you can put together. And it takes your breath away when the church that you love, the church that you possibly have grown up in, or you have spent 5, 10, 15, 20 years of your personal, your professional, your gifts and talents, everything has been poured into that house. And if you decide, which is your right as a member, if you decide to take a week off, if you decide to go visit your mother's church or go to Canada and sing there on the choir, that if you've gone to your pastor and they knew that you were traveling, they knew you were going, and you received their blessing, then you should be able to go in peace, not come back. And to be alienated, because it does happen, amen, and be ostracized, not just by the pastor, not just by the leadership tier, but also the members now join in to further hurt the abused person. Your spirit is abused, your emotions are abused, your mental abilities are abused, hindered, are halted, and psychologically, you are a walking wound. You are an open, festering wound. Wondering, how in the world did I get like this? How did I get like this? What did I do? What did I do? I've been raped again, not just the leader, not just by the deacons and the elders, but now I'm even being raped again by the members. I didn't undress. I didn't do anything. I wasn't promiscuous. I wasn't provocative. I just went to visit another church. So if we're going to talk about church abuse, I'm here to tell you we're going to talk about it, because we are losing. The word of the Lord says that even the very elect will fall away from the church. And I am getting ready to do an interview in a couple of areas in East Baltimore and West Baltimore. I already have my team together. And we're going to take a survey out on the street. Please keep us in prayer as we do it. And we're going to ask our brothers and sisters, do you attend a church? If the answer is no, I'm going to ask why. And I can tell you, out of that survey, I'm going to get a great percentage of people that will tell me I didn't feel welcome. They talked about me. They looked at me funny. You know, I was not embraced because we have a sickness in the house, and we've got to talk about it, and we have to get it resolved.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. You know, I'll try to be good.
Oh, no. I don't want you to be good. I want you to be the apostle that you are.
Because, Chief Apostle Ken, he's got me started.
I told you he'll do that. I told you.
Yes.
But that's because there are people on this line.
Oh, I'm so sorry. But let me say this, and then then we can continue. The truth of the matter, I'm a pastor. I'm a senior pastor in my church. I love my members. A lot of my members right now are traveling. They live in different states, and they go home for Thanksgiving, what have you. I'm not going to get upset because they're home visiting their family, and they're not here for Wednesday night Bible study. Listen, I don't own my members. And when it comes to a place as a leader that I own my sheep, then I've actually put them back in slavery and they're in bondage. And I'm only concerned about the finances because my pews are not filled with bodies that I don't need to serve as a leader.
You better preach.
Oh, Jesus. Don't stop on my behalf. You can just keep going.
I'm going to let Apostle
come on in.
It's just phenomenal because, I mean, what does that say about that leader that feels a certain kind of way if a member is going to another church just to fellowship with family and may possibly, there may be a word of the Lord for them at that particular time.
Absolutely. Amen.
If there was proper training, if there was proper protocol and a process that leader has helped is the key word, member to know. Because, let's just be honest. Most of the new pastors of this age are not even educated enough to even counsel themselves.
Ooh, amen. Amen.
Because of the simple fact that they don't understand how to parent someone that may be older than them.
Amen.
Come on.
And so therefore, there's frustration from that leader, and it's a bad thing, and it's a horrible thing, and it's a very bad thing to fall into the hands of an angry God when you purposely wound one of those that He has entrusted you
Lord
to
Jesus.
Care for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's danger right there.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
so,
yes, sir.
I'm loving this because. It's blessing me to know that I'm hearing from God correctly.
Amen.
It makes no sense for a leader to feel so intimidated, insecure.
There it is.
And just feel like that they're being treated insubordinately, if you would, by someone who has invested in sold their time, their finances, their time away from their families to help build this ministry, only to be treated, like crap.
You're right. Oh my God.
Yes.
And I would feel a kind of way.
Yeah.
To know that if my leader, my pastor, is spreading poison.
Mm-hmm.
About me to other members, that when I come back, it told me what his or her subject was of that Sunday when I wasn't there.
And you know what, Chief Apostle, and I'm going to tie this into something that Apostle Linda said, because sometimes, you know.
It was awesome.
Some of these leaders, they know what not to say, and you know, and I've seen this in my travels and things of that nature, but they know how to steer the people away from you without saying words.
Yes.
And it's very it's very deceptive. It's very deceptive.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because the people would start trusting the leaders, and that's a good thing. But if they're done with you, they know how to steer with their influence the people away.
Yes,
and you're like, what happened? Something smelled bad. What happened? And you can see that person being ostracized without words, and the person will feel it, and then it make them feel like, you know what, no, ain't nothing going on. You just, you know, you just kind of, maybe you need to pray more, or it's in your head, like the email, the young, the pastor heard, it's in your head, but now you off the email, there's nobody calling you, you don't miss all kinds of stuff because you're not even included, but it's in your head. The deceptiveness, I mean, the deception is so horrific, and then I look at it this way, and both of you just blew the top off this thing, everything you just said, because I look at it like this, because this is the part that really just grabs my heart, and Chief Apostle, you kind of said that too with the younger generation, and we love the younger generation, that's good, bravo, but here's the thing. I don't think they really get the concept when they're starting a ministry or a church and things of that nature. When people join your ministry, they are joining you, and you got people who never had a mother, never had a father. So the last thing they need is an angry man of God, or jealous, or insecure, or uptight woman of God, and they can't get close to. They already got beat up by the world. So when they come in and we're loving them and we drop them like you said and treat them like crap, they're like, what is the church? I mean, my own folks dropped me, the world dropped me, now the church dropped me. No one, I'm going to become a Muslim. I mean, I'm just being honest.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
They're just, you know, and
right.
So they're like, you know, I'm getting dropped here, I'm getting ostracized here, I'm getting talked about here, and people always say, well, they talked about Jesus. Well, when we call a person, when we tell a person, I love you like a son or I love you like a daughter, and
mm-hmm.
listeners. This does not mean you get the same thing to your pastor. We are not saying that. What I'm saying, because they are going to chasten you. Because some of you, they really have to grow you up. You're going to need somebody to chastise you. Because some of you just be out there doing some crazy stuff, but not all of you, you know. And then so we don't need to beat them up, you know, browbeat them with things, because we're trying to get them to be controlled. That's the Holy Spirit part. Our part is to almost parent them spiritually.
Yeah.
You know. And so, I mean, you know, my mother, I grew up old school. My grandmother had three switches, and she tied that bad boy, and my mama had a leather belt. You know, and today I still call them ma'am. I never call her by her first name. Why? Because that respect is still in there, you know. And so, you know, I knew when she was disciplining me, you know, and I was being a knucklehead, but her love never changed. And unfortunately, with the church, if you do something they don't like or go somewhere they don't want you to go or visit or even help another ministry, the love chain that they preach about, that doesn't every Sunday. And that's hurtful. That's hurtful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the thing, and that's true, Prophetess Coleman, that's true. The thing that I see a lot of, and especially being here in Baltimore, you know, Baltimore City, we have a lot going on with African-American with violence and gun violence and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and just the sense of hopelessness that some of our young people have, including adults, and those that we encounter, when you've already been hurt, because
mm-hmm.
a spiritual abuse or church hurt, it goes to the core who
yes.
we are. And when you have
wow.
already been hurt in the core of who you mm-hmm. are, if you migrate, and I say migrate, because people are just like, it's like migration of, like zebras and elephants. I mean, we're migrating from church to church looking for that
mm.
person, or looking for that feeling of healing. And if we don't find it, we shift to another church. We move to another
mm-hmm.
church. But we have to understand also, and I may be jumping the gun here, that
yeah.
when we encounter someone who has been victimized by church hurt, that spiritual abuse, that as a leader, you have to be very careful with them. Because any trigger, anything you say, a body language, your the way you move your eyes, the tone and pitch in your voice may set off a trigger in them and cause them to leave your church.
So
knowing that the individual when you are abused, it gets the core of your existence. It gets the core of who you are. And you have to be a loving man and woman of God, especially in leadership, that is able and willing to put the time in to embrace that human being, embrace that person,
so we can
get them back to a place of wholeness. It's going to take some time, but if leaders are willing to help to heal some of the brokenhearted that are coming to the house. Not everybody's a drug addict. Not everybody's coming from prostitution. Not everybody is post-pedophilia. Some people are coming because they were in a church that did not value them, did not appreciate them, and did not receive them. And so they migrated. And we have a lot of people who are migrating, who are shifting, who are moving, trying to find love, trying to find hope, trying to find a home. And we've got to do better in leadership to make sure we keep our eyes open. We can't treat all of our members the same. They're unique.
That's right.
They're beautiful. Our members are beautiful. I have beautiful members. But as a leader, I know each one of my members, whether they're husband and wife or mother and son, they're unique. They're different.
Right.
They bring
different values to
the table. They bring different gifts and talents, whether spiritual or professional, to the table. And you've got to take each one of these members like precious gems and appreciate who they are. And remember, sometimes our members are only with us for a season. That season may be a year. It may be 5, it may be 20, it may be a lifetime, but we have to value them while we have them and to ensure that when they do leave us, they leave us blessed and they leave us whole.
That's right. And in conjunction with that, it's so amazing that you're bringing these points out because I one of the scriptures that, you know, I looked at was James 3, and 3 and 1, and you know, he pretty much deals with about the leaders. You got too many masters sitting up in your houses.
Oh my, yeah.
Everybody's an apostle. Yeah. Everybody's a pastor. Everybody's an elder. Everybody's a minister.
Yeah.
Who's the sheep?
Oh yeah. Wow.
And then we wonder why we can't get no members is because the members have turned into ministers that are messy.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Everybody's a leader and there's no followers.
No followers.
Oh, Lord, Chief Apostle.
And then, Prophetess, you opened this up.
You did.
Oh, Lord. I knew y'all was going to go in, but I'm sitting here.
If we flip over to, you know, you're looking at Romans, who were, you know, the brutish ones and how Paul talked to them. If you look at it now, why there are so many members that are getting hurt in the church, once again, I'm going to bring it right back to this point, and Scripture proves it, as according to Romans 16 and 18, which deals with these leaders want their belly served than to have the people served.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus.
So you mean to tell me that I'm supposed to care as a member of the sheep, I'm supposed to care more about your stomach's full and I'm sitting here hungry? The roles have reversed, and there is some sort of retardation that has occurred. And it just simply means slow of learning, that there is a problem mentally in the spirit that, you know, you've lost sight of what your purpose is as a leader. That's why we as apostles, God has given us stewardship over his mysteries, because even Paul tells us how we have suffered fasting. Unwantingly. We have suffered beatings so that you may benefit. Not that we may benefit, but that you may benefit. So there's a problem with role-playing here in the church with so many being hurt. And if it can be transparent, because maybe it'll help somebody. I got out of my church hurt. We served a ministry for 20 years. Only to be told by the leader that we served for 20 years, 20 years of our lives, 20 years, that the Lord said that your work is so great, I'm going to have to release you. Because the people began to look at us more than they were looking at the leader. Not knowing what the leader was doing behind the doors. Oh, Jesus, okay.
But we didn't release
ourselves. We stayed in order. Because the Bible makes it clear to us also in 1 Peter, the second chapter, that, you know, that we are to serve those masters that are good and the ones that are froward, that do evil. And so all we got was released into a place where God needed us. And what we did, instead of staying hurt, There's a concept that my wife and I use. When we're dealing with a situation of pain in ministry, we go find a vision that God has given us that we hadn't worked on yet, and we get something accomplished.
That'll take your mind off
of all of that pain, all of that hurt, because the truth of the matter remains that even though you may not feel that pain no more, that doesn't mean that the problem is solved.
All right. Come on, Apostle. So, that means it's suppressed.
And so what should we do? How should we help steer these individuals in pain that have served without being seen but just needed a break? How do we help them? We help them by encouraging them. Listen, if there's something that God has given you specifically to work on and you haven't, while you're on your downtime, that'll be the opportunity to do it. Because while you're taking care of that, the Lord is taking care of that issue.
That's right.
With that being said, because you brought up something, you know what? Y'all got to come back, because we got 30 minutes, and I want everything y'all got. And I don't think the time will let me, and I want it. And I know the listeners want it, because I got some of the numbers on this screen. I can't even see the rest of the numbers, so I know they want it too. But I want it. Y'all are letting it roll tonight. But I want it because you said something. When a leader is not healed, and I thank God for both of your ministries, because you both operate in this, because they do have a safe place to go. But when they don't go get the help or get healed, just, you know, if you fall and you don't have to stay there, and you're still who God called you to be. But if you don't get healed for real, they suppress it. And I always tell people, when they say, well, you know, I'm okay, I dealt with it, I'm like, don't be in denial. Let's be honest. If you're talking faith, I'm with you on that. But you're talking in denial, we got to deal with that. Guess why? Because if you're in denial and you are a leader and you suppress something you haven't dealt with, it is going to show up. It is going to show up in a deceptive way. I tell people all the time, you are not going to hide this thing. And as being a leader, you have an influence over some group of people. You can't afford that, because there's going to be some prejudice somewhere. There's going to, you know, sometimes if you suppress it, it may be unintentional. It's going to come out. And I often tell people, you got to get your healing in. You got to get your deliverance. You got to get yours, or you got to lead a bunch of people bleeding with you bleeding. Ain't nobody going to be healed.
Nobody.
And so, Apostle, when you just said that, I thought about that. And the other part, when Apostle Linda, when you were saying about the money thing, now, because we got to say something on that, you know? First, you know, I'm just going to say this. Don't be licensing somebody because they're a favoritizer. Make sure they are a leader. Don't just license them because you want to keep them. Make sure they are. If not, you're trying to make a... And I'm just saying this in retrospect. You're trying to make a usher, a pastor. Let them work in their own anointing. Because now you about to mess up something because they're faithful in that area, they're good in that area. And so when you try to move them in something else they're not called to do and call them a leader, they don't have the pastor's heart. They don't have that kind of compassion. They are not going the extra mile. They ain't going to the hospital for nobody. They ain't about to call you or nothing. But we made them a leader.
Well, if you would, prophet, let's call it by its name, if you would.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and let's just simply call them hirelings, if you would.
Yes, that's the word.
Trying to keep them in a place of payment, just to keep them by promoting them in an area that is going to cause them to be susceptible to a satanic attack that they're not ready for.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Come on, Chief Apostle, you just opened a door now. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. And you know, they could be going through stuff. And they'll just hide it. And if you're a leader, you know what they're going through. You're like, well, because you're in a position, because we put you somewhere you wasn't ready for. You know,
wasn't
everybody
ready.
Knows the scene. You know, you wasn't even prepared. Your prayer life don't even match this position. And so, you know, it'll be hurtful to put you in this. You're not even ready for these demons. I mean, them Casper demons, you can handle that. But these things here that just attack you, your family, and your dog, are you ready
That's
for
right.
that?
Right.
I'm sorry. Oops.
No, no, go ahead. I'm just saying now, you know, the cat having bad dreams, because I don't think people realize the level, you know, because they step into a place not understanding what this is, having, like Apostle Linda said, having studied it out, don't even know, no one really ever prepared you for it. You know, you did a great thing in a season, now all of a sudden we're going to put you here. Well, that was for that season. There may not be that's what you're called to do. And then you kind of set people up when you do that.
Right, and see, right there, there's a concept that we as leaders should follow before we even ordain somebody into a position or install them or consecrate them, whatever the term that you want to use, and that is before you put them into an ascension gift Christ office, the first thing, you know, to find out, which is this wisdom, did God call you to this? If you don't come and tell me as a leader, this is what the Lord is showing, and I don't see no fruit of it, guess what?
Right.
I'm not putting my signature on it. I'm not putting my name on it. And sure enough, I'm not putting my service on it.
Say so.
Because next thing you know, I got a whole mess, and it gets out, and now we got social media. Lord have mercy.
They will perish in a moment.
It will get out as fast as you can put the ink to the paper.
Yes,
that
you said
this
3 minutes
person did not hear from God, stating that their leader put them in this office.
My mind.
And then they put them in there without no teaching.
Lord Jesus.
Yes. And you got to teach.
I just want to, I'm sorry, Apostle Linda, go ahead.
I'm going to say this real quick. I feel like you're getting ready to take a break, but I do want to say this, and I'm going to piggyback on something that I heard my new brother on the other line, Chief Apostle, has said. One thing that we have to, I don't know how, but we need to make sure that we have safe places for leaders to go.
Yes.
I'm doing something right now with leaders, and if I don't feel safe, I have an issue. This is real. I have an issue as a leader, and I'm not saying me personally, but I use myself as an example. If I have an issue and I'm hurting, I'm bleeding, the smell of blood has become my perfume. And I don't have one of my colleagues or one of my peers that I can sit down and put my head, I just need to put my head on your shoulder. I need to weep. I need to cry. I'm in crisis. And I'm preaching, I'm teaching, I'm on the cutting edge, but I'm wounded. We have to be safe in the body of Christ as leaders, and we're not safe for one another. And until we get to a place in leadership where we're safe with one another, our congregations will be safe. They're not safe as long as we're broken.
Say that one more time.
Go ahead, Apostle. Say that one more time. They are not safe
as long as we're broken.
Ooh,
oh, my goodness.
And that's another radio talk.
I just wrote that down. Ooh, because how you're going to herd the sheep and you broke it in too many pieces.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
To all the callers, because some of you probably think, okay, it's my leadership. Let me tie this into being hurt, because if we are in leadership, and just like Apostle Linda just said, and we are broken, and we never get repaired back with each other, oh, my God, that's why we are the body of Christ, and we're trying to lead, you won't be healed because now you trust us and you're following us and things of this. How am I going to walk you into your deliverance, into your healing, into your manifestation of being whole when I can't even get it for myself? How am I going to give you something I don't have?
Right, Jesus.
But we have to do, and our congregations, you know, we have got to make sure we take care of our members. We have to care for the sheep. We have to love the sheep. And because we are in leadership, it does not mean that we are exempt from pain. We're exempt from being frustrated. We're exempt from being disgusted. We're exempt from being angry. We are still human beings. I heard the word robots earlier. We're not robots. And so we always have to do self-care on ourselves. I work at Johns Hopkins, and I support the chaplains and the clergy there, and something that is key with training chaplains is the terminology self-care. Mm-hmm. And if we as leaders do more self-care with one another, with ourselves, individually and corporately, that's going to pour. That's going to pour on our congregations. That's going to pour on them.
Amen.
And so we're talking about church abuse and church hurt. But if we are whole as leaders, as best to our ability, then when our congregations are going through shifting and changing and there's abuse issues and things going, conflicts and crises going on, we're well enough as leaders to see it, and we're well enough to deal with it.
Amen. Oh, Jesus.
Wow. This is awesome.
We're not going to take a break, people. We have 27 minutes left on the clock, and so, you know, just go get you some water and come on back to the phone. Just take your phone with you or just keep your computer up, because we're not going to take no break. Apostle Carl, because I was going to take one, but no, we want to have all this time, because you're hitting some great keys. And there's another part I want us to get to, and take at least two phone calls. Call us. When I hit your button, you're going to be on the air. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to, and I'll go to the next caller, okay? So I know some of you are on and you just want to listen. And so when we start taking calls and things of that nature, just kind of make it brief, because we want to be able to get to everyone if we can. While we have both the powerhouse apostles on tonight, you guys go ahead and tweet, text, call somebody, email them, tell them they still got about 26 minutes to log in, listen to this show and get their questions answered. Because I know a lot of you are online and you don't want, you know, us to answer the phone, and that's fine, because that's not what this is about. Apostles, also with this, help me with this one here too. So if people have experienced church hurt, what do you tell the ones, you know, people have given them scriptures, you know, lean on the word of God, and we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, and all that is true. And you know, and there are a lot of people who have gone through church hurt, and I think leaders have been hurt as well by some of the members who come there with hidden agendas. So we don't want to leave that out, because everybody ain't coming to the church, you know, just wanting Jesus. They come in there ready to wreak havoc. They ain't trying to do nothing but wreak havoc. And so everybody don't come there, but most people do come because they are looking for something different than outside those doors. So what do we say to the ones that maybe on the phone right now, they have experienced some church hurt? You know, some have been healed, bless God for that. But for the woman who's on this line, they're like, man, I don't know where to start to even trust people with that. You know, so what do we tell them? Like, I do want to be a part of the body of Christ, but I feel like I can't trust any leader because of what happened to me. I feel like I just got raped, so now what do I do?
I would say we've dealt with the spiritual aspect of it. And though trust has been broken, but at some point in time, if you really are going to be a part of the body of Christ, and you've developed a relationship, you know, with the Lord in the meantime, while you're on your downtime, learn to know the voice of God for yourself.
Amen.
And Amen. You know, some may disagree with what I'm about to say, and it may not be popular, but however, we know the word of the Lord when the Bible talks about it, he tells us to come as we are, not in our garments. It ain't got nothing to do with garments. Come as you are, as where you're at right now. You have a relationship with the Lord, then you have enough time to sit there and learn his voice. And then get around someone that's stronger than you.
Yeah.
That knows something much more than you. A wise person goes to someone that knows something more than them. That's how let's deal with it naturally. That's how people of success get to the places where they're at. And we thank God because we got a fine example of Prophetess Coleman on his line.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Because she is the king's daughter. And
yes, sir.
So, you know, she's a businesswoman, and she's gone to conferences and talked to various ones that know something more than her, that she able to put some trust in. And so it's the same thing with church. Getting someone that you know knows more than you, that has some experience, that you feel that comfort with, but yet not comfortable with, if that makes sense.
It does.
Because we should never want to be so common with each other till we lose respect of each other.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And so my suggestion would be continue to wait on the Lord to give you that release, because you could very well end up in another house and repeat your cycle all over again.
That's it. By not waiting.
Sometimes, you know, now watch this. This is what church hurt will do when you're hurt by a leader. A hidden, vindictive way to get back at that leader would probably, which has happened, if we're honest, would be to go to that leader's friend's church who is a friend of that leader and join their church.
Happens a lot.
That is nothing but simple rebound.
Put it out there, Apostle. Put it out there.
And then you're right back into the same position, because now that becomes now a methodology of discord. Because now you got two leaders looking at each other, and now a seed of doubt has now been planted. Being vindictive.
Wow. And you know, people do that. We just going to keep it real because they do that. They do that because they never got the healing, and they start playing those kinds of games, you know, and things of that nature. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Apostle Linda, you want to add to that?
I do, because Chief Apostle was all in my comment.
Forgive me, sis. Forgive me.
No. That's all right. It's all right. What I want to say, and I want everyone to hear me clearly. What I want to say is, beware of the spirit of Jonadab. Beware of the spirit of Jonadab.
My God.
Amnon had a lust for his sister. And he would not have carried it out.
Come on.
If it was not for Jonadab. There's always a Jonadab, an instigator, who is amiss. That all has to do is give a couple of sublineal messages just push you enough to go ahead and carry out the act. When we have experienced spiritual abuse, we have to be careful that we do not become and operate in the spirit of Jonadab ourselves. We'll be, just as Chief Apostle says, become that crafty person. I know how I'm going to get back at him. I know how I'm going to get back at the church. I will join their friend's church. I will get the word out. We got to be very careful that the spirit of Jonadab does not attach itself to us, and that we're carrying out something that we're going to regret.
Wow.
So that's what I wanted to bring out, because if it was not for Jonadab, and I will say to the listening audience, there will all, and on your way, thank you, Holy Spirit, I love you, on your way to healing, there will always be a Jonadab. There will always be an instigator that will deter you from doing the right thing and moving in the direction of healing.
My.
So everything's not demonic. Everything's not demonic when it comes to healing from spiritual abuse. There are some things that the enemy is good at doing when we are vulnerable and weak. But the other part, the natural part of us, I'm going to get you back part, because God gave us a free will mind. You have to be careful of that. I just pray in the name of Jesus the Christ on tonight that let's not forget that in this particular chapter, Second Samuel, Amnon, even though he had the thought of lust and he could see it in his spirit eye, he would not have acted it out if it was not for Jonadab.
My God.
My goodness.
So
and
when
which
you
leads
heard,
me, oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Apostle. Go ahead.
Which that just literally, Apostle Harvey, that literally just provoked something else, which brings me to another passage of Scripture of the root of bitterness in Hebrews 12.
Yes, sir. Wow.
You know, it tells us to be careful.
Be careful.
Lest the root of bitterness spring up, and thereby many become defiled by our bitterness.
Yes.
It's amazing how our rebound and our revenge is going to affect a whole quorum of people that we didn't even realize was being affected.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My God.
Wow.
Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah. My God. Woo, Jesus. Okay, so, and so what I'm hearing is, so if you are hurting, you're already going through hurt, you have to be careful of the spirit who comes along and says, well, if I was you, this is what I would do. Woo,
yes.
Jesus. You got to be careful of that person. And so that leads me to say, you know, when you are experiencing church hurt, be careful who you tell what happened to you.
Say it.
Yes, indeed. It's too many Ahithophels in the house.
Wow.
The ones that you took sweet counsel with,
that
although they may think that they're doing a good thing by trying to back you up, but yet their backup is actual betrayal.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Oh, my Lord. And it's sealed with the in Jesus' name. That's the part that gets me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lord Jesus.
Right,
ooh, okay.
Right.
And don't forget,
but there's
the Lord.
So
and
much.
Won't he do it? Don't forget that.
But you want to know something? With all of this hurt, it brings us into a very ugly place if it's not dealt with.
Yes, it does.
A lie will turn into a betrayal, which we know that 2015 has been running rampant with just betrayal, period.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
But then if it's not stopped, that betrayal then turns into conspiracy. Which now means I'm going to get somebody else on my side and work against you.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
Which then takes us to witchcraft.
Okay. Go ahead, Chief Apostle, go ahead.
And they do it. They do it in the name of our Lord.
In the name.
You going to curse me in the name of Jesus? Really? I don't look like a fig tree.
All right.
Especially if I'm bearing fruit. Hello?
Come on, Apostle.
you can't curse what God has blessed. I may be hurt. You know, we have to look at it like this. I may be wounded, but don't underestimate me.
That's right.
Because people that are hurt must still have their eyes open to the and Apostle Harvey, you said this one word, which is very underestimated, and it's called crafty.
Yes.
Being crafty means that somebody put some thought into and strategize a method to get you back. Because I'm in pain, I'm going to put everybody else in pain. But they won't realize it until I'm done fulfilling my assignment with trying to get back at the one that hurt me. And that's why, it's, you know, we also must be, you know, cautious even when dealing with, you know, leaders. If that person, you know, is submitted unto God and they're in error, you know, we have to be careful not to try to play God's part.
Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We do, we get in trouble. Now, there is, of course, there is a way to handle a leader in error. But then again, if we look at, if you check out Ezekiel, the third chapter, when he makes it clear, starting at verse 20, how he specifically, the Lord speaks through him and makes it quite clear that, listen, if there is a righteous that has turned away from their righteousness, and you that know that they have turned from it and did nothing about it,
and did nothing.
I'm going to get them, but I'm also get you. So if we don't know the wisdom of God to deal with a leader in error that has caused so much pain and hurt and has divided an entire ministry because. I have dealt with an instance, and, you know, it'll be no secret. I have dealt with an instance whereas a leader tore the whole church up. Because that leader was still dealing with hurt from their growing up that was never dealt with, but that was always hidden.
Right.
And it'll eventually come out.
That's what I was saying earlier. They'll just suppress it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you were.
It's going to come out.
They're still anointed, called by God, but it's going to come out. And then all their, you know, even as a prophet and apostles, when we speak, you know, when I came on the show, I'm like, we don't get to choose what we're going to say. And people often ask me, when you give a strong word, is it received? I'm like, well, won't you ask somebody who I give a strong word to? Because oftentimes, you know, let people find out on their own. I'm like, yeah, go ask somebody. Well, who? Anybody. Just, has a prophet ever give you a word? First of all, was it accurate? I don't mind people testing that because it's God anyway. I know how to conjure it up. It's like water to me. It just pours out. And so even with giving a hard word, and this is all kudos to God. Cause it ain't got nothing to do with TKD. It's really all God. People receive even when I give them a hard word, and I know for a fact it's only on the basis of when we walk in love. When we walk in love. And, you know, and so because what you do behind private doors, if you really praying, if you really living a consecrated life, just you and the Lord, when you fall, you get your butt up and get in that word and get it right, that's going to come through your teaching, your preaching, your love walk, action with people, your engagement with people. All of that is going to come through, whether you give a word of correction or, a prophecy or whatever it is. And I've seen it. And I've seen people give words. And I immediately, like, as a prophet, I know, okay, that word is right, but it's not going to be received because you're not even walking in love. It's definitely not received. It's not that you were lying. Your whole walk is off, so they're not going to receive it.
Right.
That's right.
And so people are like, you know, I don't really know about that. They're not really judging the word that you get if you are a proven prophet, but your whole spirit is off because something has not mended, and people know that. They can't put their finger on it. They're going, I'm not sure.
Come on.
You know, I mean, all of them are not wrong. So sometimes when you start, well, you know, you was kind of off. No, they went off. They were right. That person was not walking in love. So nobody want to hear what you got to say until you get your healing. So,
you got that,
I try to come in agreement with healing for me, and you're not even healed. Yes, you are called by God, but get your healing for real. Because it makes a difference.
This is so profound. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No. Go ahead, and I'll come behind you.
Okay, this is so profound because when you have when you're dealing with a leader that's hurt, let's call that the root matter there.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with a leader that's hurt, right, and
right.
one that's in one of the higher offices, the governmental office as apostle or prophet, that leader better be careful, and I say better with such conviction. Because I saw something spiritually. I saw, and it may sound funny, but it's just down to earth, to help those that are on the line that are listening. I saw a Frankenstein. I saw a zombie. And there was one other creature that I saw. And so that leader that's hurt doesn't realize that when their hurt overwhelms them, that they begin to operate doctrinally incorrect. Therefore, turning people into zombies, making them just look morbid and stay in their flesh, because zombies are known for being flesh-eating, if you would.
Right.
Because that leader stays in their flesh by not being healed. Then to be Frankensteined, if you would, because there's so many different parts. That leader's self that is putting that person together that looks very ugly. Till it becomes hideous. Now, if you recall the word of the Lord back in Leviticus, that nothing unpleasant could come before the Lord.
That's right.
So when a leader has Frankenstein people that has made them very unpleasant before the Lord, the blood on that leader's hands is just it's not even dripping; it's overflowing. That is like the best analogy that I can, you know, give off of this scenario. When leaders are hurt and how they're hurting others.
I can see that. You can see
it. You know, and immediately when you were talking, what came to me, like, as a prophet, that made very good sense to me. Because when you said that, what came to me immediately when you described it was, you are touching me without life.
Yes.
I got the other one.
The third one was lurched. Now, if y'all recall lurch from the Adams family.
Yeah.
How he was a ghoul. That every time that leader wanted something, they pull that cord, bang, and here comes Lurch. You rang.
Wow, I see that.
And so they're creating leaders that are hurting are creating creatures that was never meant to be created.
My God.
And what I'm
sorry, I'm sorry.
I love this. This is awesome. When you said lurch, I automatically got a picture on my head, and I could see lurch. And every time lurch would come when he was summoned, yes, master. Lurch was still functioning. He was still a functioning servant, but he had no life. And we Well, we have functioning servants. But they have no life.
No life.
And as long as the abuse and the hurt and the conflict and all of those things ball up like knitted yarn that cats play with, there will be no life. And so if we are in this situation, if our churches are in this situation, and those who are unsaved and they're looking in the windows of the church because they see God, but they also see the monsters at work, they're not coming in.
Wow.
Lurch had functionality. I want you to get that. Lurch had functionality. He was still functioning, but he was not alive.
My God, callers. Ooh, Jesus. Okay, because we are. Oh, gosh. So we got to wrap this up. We didn't get a chance to get to y'all, but you guys, y'all got to help me. I want you to go to their pages. Look, I callers and chat room people, listen. Go to Chief-Apostle Ken Moses. Blow his page up. Then I want you to go to Apostle Linda Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y, blow her page up. We got to get them back, y'all. We got to get them back on this air because I believe there is more. And I am sitting here like, Lord, I need them to stay on this air. But, you know, we got to get some more sponsors so we can have some more time. You both have unraveled this thing so beyond my expectation, so beyond that. That I really need to have you both back on the line. I mean, when the Lord placed you both, I immediately saw you both. I saw your faces. When I said, God, what do we need to do? He showed me you both. I didn't even attempt to call nobody else. And so now I see what he was doing. My God. Because you
Amen.
Both just kept off the table. I am so full right now. I have two pages full. And I'm going to listen to this in archives again. And you two can share this on your pages, the ones that have missed this. I'm going to share it because this right here, you can Google it, people. You can Google it. It ain't out there. I've been looking for stuff all week. It's not out there. And they just poured out. Glory to God. And those of you who's on these lines, who's in the chat, I want you to tell somebody to listen to this show. Y'all know they need this. Tell them, listen to this show. It costs them nothing to listen to this hour and a half, and they're going to get real answers and real healing, and we're going to get the apostles back on the line when it's convenient for them because they're both heavily in ministry. You guys heard them over 20, 30 years in ministry, and they're heavy in their communities and restoring leaders and restoring marriages. Glory to God. I'm beyond full and blessed right now. Chief Apostle Ken Moses, I love you. I love your wife. Thank you so much for being on
the show. We love you, Covenant Sis. We love you, Prophet.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, man of God. Apostle Linda, I knew you was a firehouse, but you just blowed me to the east, honey. You just took me out of my seat and blowed me to the east. And I'm grateful. You both have. I'm like in this office back and forth. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, my good hair, I almost had a kicking shear moment. That's all I'm going to say. And so, glory to God. Y'all are messing me up. Glory to God. So I thank you both, and we are down to our last moment. So, fam, go ahead. Chief Apostle Ken Moses, go to your Facebook page. Also to Apostle Linda Harvey page. To blow them up. We're going to have you back. Thank you for tuning in to TKD Glory Radio and broadcast. You know who it is. It's the Kingdom Mix, sis. Prophet LaSandra Coleman, and you have been tuned in to the hottest, the rawest show online. If you didn't know, you better call, text, email, and tweet somebody and ask them about us. We will see you next week. Have a great day in Jesus. Bye-bye. Yeah.